Praise God. As we come to the scripture this morning, we come to an exciting turn of events. After all of the judgment and sadness in this life and accounted even here in the book of Revelation, particularly with regards to the wicked and with regards to the tribulation period of 7 years that is coming after the rapture, it's sure refreshing to think about the millennial kingdom where Christ will rule. And we've talked about that in the last three lessons, last week talking about the great judgment at the end of the world. Now as we come to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, John sees something altogether new and a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. And so let's take a look here, Revelation chapter 21. We're going to begin reading with the first five verses of this chapter. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is true and faithful. We are not reading fairy tales. We are reading the genuine prophecies that you, Almighty God, have revealed through your servant John, that apostle of yours, who loved you in, Lord Jesus, your earthly ministry, and who was faithful unto death. Lord, thank you for your work in presenting this to us. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand these truths and that it would really sink down into our hearts, that we might ponder it in our daily life and consider what you have in store for every child of God. Lord, thank you for this. We pray for our world today. We know that it is in a bad way, and we consider what we've been hearing and what's happened in Afghanistan and all of the horrible tragedies there and all of the chaos. And Lord, we are grieved and we are saddened, and we pray that you would bring a resolution to this and that you'd bring stability and peace back to this region of the world. Lord, we pray that you'd give wisdom to those in places of authority, even in our nation. Oh God, we pray that they would be moving to intervene and intercede, that there might be stabilization there. But Lord, ultimately, your will. Father, we pray that you would help us as your people to long ever more for your return, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Lord, we see our world getting more wicked all the time, it seems, and the disasters around us. But Lord, we are thankful that our hope is in you and that this world is not our home, but our citizenship is in heaven for those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And Lord, for those who do not know Christ, help our light to shine. And if there's any, whether gathered here or tuning in online, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would come to Christ. They would recognize they cannot save themselves and that their sin damns them, condemns them, but that Jesus in his love left heaven's glory, died on the cross for their sin, and that they today would trust him. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. John sees a new heaven and a new earth. This is an amazing thing. A new world is coming. These events are coming after the rapture, after the 7 years of tribulation, after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this new world isn't coming for at least 1,007 years, right? A little more than that, more than likely. But you know what? This new world is coming. It is coming. I am certain that it's nearer than we realize. It is near. In other words, it's not thousands of years away. It's just, like I say, a little over 1,000, more than likely. Of course, God only knows. I do not. But when we see what's happening in our world globally, not just in one nation, but globally, we see the rejection of truth and the oppression of humanity. Where is there to run but to the Lord? Where is there to hide but in the Savior? Oh, friend, Christ's plans are being carried out. They will be carried out even as he prescribed here, as we've detailed through the prophecies of the book of Revelation. And some wonderful things right here. This new world, I want you to understand, is for the redeemed of the Lord. It is for the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will notice that as we read through here. John says here in verse 1 that the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. First of all, when we think about this heaven that's mentioned here, I believe it's referring to the atmosphere. It's not referring to the heaven where God dwells, but rather to the heavens of this earth that is above us. And so, the atmosphere of our globe. And you know, the Bible tells us here that it's going to pass away as well as the earth. And I'd like you to see what 1 Peter, or actually what 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14 say. I have it here for you. It says this: "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Oh, friends, a new world is coming. A new world. It says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Yes, yes, we believe in global warming, I guess we could say, in the biblical sense, not in this the nonsense that's sold today. But yes, one day these very elements will melt, as the scripture says. But until that time, God will sustain this planet. And I am so thankful for that. But you know, the very fact of the matter is, this earth will pass away with fervent heat. But we seek for the new heavens and the new earth. Consider also another passage in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, consider verses 9 and 10. It says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise." This is talking about Abraham. "He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And verse 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." He hath prepared for them a city. God's magnificent plan. Wow. So I want to just look at verse 1 again and take note of not only the fact that heaven and earth will pass away and it will be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth, but notice also it says here as John sees this future, as he sees it, he says there was no more sea. Now our globe is covered by more than more than two-thirds of our globe is covered with water, the oceans of the world. And I believe this is referring here to the fact that there is going to be much less ocean and much more land. And so in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be much more space. In other words, we live on about a third of earth, right? And, well, even that's even less due to climate in some places. But you know what? We have about a third of Earth's landmass. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be more land to explore. There will be, absolutely, I believe, rivers and lakes and all of that wonderful water. But I believe that the Bible indicates, as John sees it, that he did not see the vast oceans like before. So more land, more things to explore in that new world. Now John, in verse 2, says here that he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. And we're going to get into that, but I'd like to skip down to verse 6 and begin to process some of the things that he continues to talk about. We'll come back to the beginning. But verse 6, let's notice. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And so praise God. God says, "It is done." God's magnificent plan of the ages has been carried out as he comes here now foreseeing what is yet future. This new heaven and new earth, all of God's masterful plan of this universe is coming to a place of completion where we enter eternity. Eternity with God. An eternity with those who have loved God. Those who by their free will have chosen Jesus over the devil. Who have chosen a righteousness over sin. Those who have come by the way of the cross. Who have embraced God's love and who have loved him back. Oh, God has this special place, this new world prepared for us who love him. And he says here that he has done it. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Praise God. I'm thankful that I have responded to God's love. I recognized his love extended to me. I recognized his grace through the gospel extended to me, and I, even at a young age, trusted Jesus as my Savior. Can I ask you, friend, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that love into your heart? Oh, these wonderful things are for the children of God. Notice he says in the middle of verse 6, he says, "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." Thank God, all that is God's comes freely to us who will receive it. By simple faith we can be saved. And we also see that in eternity our needs will be all met by God. He will give to those who are athirst of the fountain of waters of life freely. Notice also in verse 7 that all this new world will be ours as the children of God. Verse number 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Oh, praise God that it will be ours. This new world will be ours. Consider Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, praise God. We are who have trusted Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. This is our inheritance, this new world. Oh, I know. I love so many things in this world that God has created, in the sense of the beauty and the creation of the streams, the rivers, the sky, the stars, all of these things. And yet our God is going to prepare a perfect place that's not tainted by sin for those who love him. And it says here in verse 7, it will be ours. We will inherit all things. And God will be our God, and we his children. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Consider this new world. In verse 8, it tells us that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, that's the detestable or foul, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, speaks of sexual sin, and the sorcerers, speaks of witchcraft and such demonic things, and idolaters, those who are worship other things than God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to see that in this new world, it will be all holy. It will be all holy. No sin, no corruption, no lies, no sorcery, no whoremongers, no murderers, nothing that's foul. It will all be perfect. In this new world, complete holiness all the time. There will be no wicked in heaven, only the redeemed of the Lord. Skip forward to verse 27, the very last verse of this chapter. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it. That's this new world, which is specifically here the holy city, New Jerusalem. And it says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful future God has for his children. We who have come by the way of the cross, whose names have been penned in the book of life because of Jesus, we have a future that is worth living for, a future that's worth dying for, a future that's worth rejoicing over. Oh, and that's the other thing. In this wonderful world, there will be joy forever. All joy forever. Consider back to verse 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more death. Oh, we are so accustomed to death. But there will be no death in this new world. This wonderful place of heaven. There will be no death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No pain in this wonderful land, for the former things are passed away. Oh, this is worth rejoicing over. Consider verse 3, backing up again to verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, what a wonderful thing that the joy of heaven is not just going to be the exquisite beauty. The joy of heaven isn't going to be just the streets that are paved with gold, or just the river of the water of life, or just the tree that bears all the delicious fruits in its season. Oh, my friend, but the joy of heaven is going to be the Lord Jesus, our God. It says here that he will dwell with us, and we will be his people. Last part of verse 3, God himself shall be with them. And of course, the them is the redeemed. Praise God. God himself. This will be in the person. We will have that interaction. We will be in his presence. This will make heaven the most blissful place forever. The presence of our wonderful God. Oh, look back now to verse 2. John says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. This wonderful city is going to be beautiful, explicitly wonderful, as a bride. All of us will have a mansion in this, our Father's house. There is this city described, which appears to be a hovering, floating through space, hovering now. It will come to rest over top of the new earth, over in that region. And it comes from God out of heaven. I believe this is the place that Jesus spoke in John 14, where he said these words. John 14, he said, I go, or actually, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus keeps his promises. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe when we read about this holy city that appears to come out of from God, out of heaven, the place where God dwells, and comes down to this earth, this new heaven and new earth, this floating city, I believe, is where the mansions Jesus talked about are. In my Father's house, this wonderful place that God has been working on. In other words, this city, this holy city that God describes here, God's been already working on. The new heaven and the new earth are not yet made. Those will come after the destruction of this one. But this holy city, I believe, is what Jesus spoke of, the place he went to prepare. And you know what that means? That means that the redeemed of Jesus who die in this our life, I believe, go to here, to this holy city, which one day will be moved down to the new heaven and new earth. But this wonderful place is beautiful, prepared as a bride. Consider verse 11. Verse number 11, we're jumping forward now in the passage. The Bible describes this city and it says, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. This holy city, this beautiful city, is a place where we will be able to bask in the manifold splendor of God's glory. It says it has the glory of God. And the light like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We get to bask in this, the manifold glory of God's splendor. Oh, consider 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, which says these words, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him, that love him. This is a prepared place for those who love him. This wonderful place called heaven, this heavenly celestial city, this new heaven and new earth, are going to be indescribably awesome. Oh, friends, this is real. This is not a fairy tale. This is the truth of God. Just as sure as you're living, and if you need to pinch yourself, go ahead. But you know what? Just as sure as you're living, you're going to enjoy this land if you're a child of God. If you've trusted Christ, this is our heavenly home, our future. Notice the union and the great mystery of the church described in this passage. We'll go back right here to verse 12. It continues describing and it says, and it had a wall. It says, great and high. Here's this city, this holy celestial city. A wall, great and high, which had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels. At the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You see here the bride of Christ blended together with the in this holy city with the tribes of Israel represented by the gates. And you also have the names of the 12 apostles. You have the blending here in the church of the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament believers. You have the Jew and the Gentile, this great mystery of the church that he would make in one of twain his holy people. Consider Ephesians 2, if you will. Ephesians 2, verse 14. It says, "For he is our peace." Of course, that's speaking of Jesus. "He is our peace, who hath made both one," speaking of Jew and Gentile, "and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And Ephesians 3, verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Oh, praise God. Praise God for this wonderful, wonderful blending of God's people through the ages in this heavenly place. We see that pictured here with the foundations and with the gates of this beautiful city. Now in verse 15, let's continue surveying this heavenly city, this heavenly Jerusalem. It says here in verse 15, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square." It's a cube. "The length of it is as large as the breadth. And he measureth the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal." 12,000 furlongs. This is close to 1,500 miles wide, long, and high. A beautiful place. This is just describing the holy city. This is not describing the new heaven and the new earth. This is the holy city where our mansion is. Where a place is for us there prepared. And of course, I believe these gates, as it describes these gates, of course, not only in a sense of protection, but it also goes on to describe these gates will never need to be closed. This is not a prison. This place is, oh, beautiful as it is, and God's glory there. This is not a captive place. We can go freely to and fro throughout all of God's beautiful creation. And so the new heaven and new earth and this city of gold hovering there over. What a beautiful thing. We notice the beauty of this place. It is very symmetrical, very orderly, very well designed, and overwhelmingly beautiful. Gives us a little inkling of what real beauty is in the symmetry, the order, the purpose. Boy, today, you know, as some would say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's really not true. Because there are some things that are awesomely beautiful just because of what they are. There are other things like that might be cool or something like that, but not intrinsically beautiful. But this place will be intrinsically beautiful, well designed by our wonderful God. Any beauty we have ever known will be surpassed by the same Creator who makes all things new. We want to notice the safety of this blessed eternal home. It's described with great and high walls and these gates and these foundations. I remind you of verse 27. There is restricted entry. Restricted entry. There shall in no wise, it says, enter into it anything that defileth. There will never be sin. I'm telling you, for a billion years, there will never be sin. For on and on and on in eternity, there will never, never be anything that defiles. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the book of life. Oh, time and again, it emphasizes this truth. The book of life, Are you saved? Do you have Jesus? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's not, are you good enough? Oh, no, none of us are. It's not, have you done enough? No, none of us have. But he, Jesus Christ, did it all. The Son of God came from heaven's glory, became a man, lived a sinless life, and died for us so that we could have a wonderful eternity living in his glory, living in his beauty, living in his praise, and loving him and being loved by him. This is real, friends. As I thought about this last night, it's staggering. It's staggering. We get this little short time on this planet, and we suffer so many things, and we realize what it is to battle to do right, and what it is to battle with this sinful flesh, and we come up so short, and we realize our weakness, and of course we must cast ourselves on the Savior in response to the gospel of Christ. And even as a saved child of God, we depend on his grace and his help to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of this flesh. We face all kinds of trials and difficulties. But you know what? It's not too many moments away. And this will be our home. This is our future. Oh, friend, if you're not saved, oh, get saved. I mean, hell is bad. Hell is horrible. We haven't even talked about it this morning, really. But just to avoid hell, it's worth it to trust Jesus and escape the damnation of your sin. But I'll tell you what, it is so absolutely worth it to live with God, to love him and be loved by him. Heaven, oh, is a wonderful place. We're running out of time. And you know what? One day in this life, we will run out of time. Maybe you're joining online. Maybe there's someone who, maybe even listening at a later date. Have you called on Jesus? I didn't ask how religious you were, or what kind of a home you grew up in, or what good deeds you've done. Have you trusted Christ alone? Have you come to him and called on him to save you? He's promised he would. He would save whosoever would come to him. He will in no wise cast you out. Thank God for his grace. Have you trusted him? You can today. You can today. We are going to have to pick up next week, Lord willing, on this wonderful new world. A place called heaven, that celestial city. Oh, praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these wonderful truths. This indescribable place. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hold more tightly to your hand. Help us to love our Bibles more. Help us to live the truth that you've given us. Help us to live in light of it, to walk in the light as you are in the light. Oh, God, help us to be less earthly minded. Oh, yes, concerned for souls, certainly. But help us to be heavenly minded. This wonderful place. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.